Chris Hipkins began this week with a skip in his step, buoyed by a positive poll result and determined to steer the agenda. Alas, it was not to be.
I'm not interfering in any way, shape or form.
I wasn't the Minister of Police. I was chewing the fat with a guy who was a mate.
I mean, that's Banana Republic stuff.
Stuart Nash has reflected on his actions and has tendered his resignation.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough aho, and e te pūrongo tōranga pū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCullough. Stuart Nash this week provided one of the clearest examples of a political own goal, not even 2 months into his return as police minister, and he's been forced out of the job and dropped down the cabinet rankings, all of it his own doing. On Tuesday afternoon, Stuart Nash texted the News Talk ZB host Mike Hosking and asked to come on his programme the next morning to talk crime.
Right, the government has got trouble on crime. I think we know that, even the Prime Minister.
The conversation began with Mr. Nash touting the latest crime statistics, but then shifted to his general frustration with the judiciary for issuing what he perceived as light sentences.
There's been a couple of times when police have put these guys in front of judges, because that's the role of the police, and that's up to the judges to determine. And I've seen a couple of judgments. And actually, one, I phoned up the police commissioner and said, surely you're going to appeal this. This is a guy, I don't know if you remember when we were doing the firearm stuff, I was wandering around telling everyone, if you have an illegal firearm, you can face up to 5 years in jail. Well, this bloke didn't have a license, had illegal firearms, illegal ammunition, and had guns without a license, and they got home detention. I think that was a terrible decision by the judge. The judges need to read the room on this. Society is sick to death of these gang members creating havoc, and we want to see them dealt with appropriately. But unfortunately, police don't determine what happens to them once they get in court.
The comments pricked up the ears of ACT leader David Seymour, who was listening while eating breakfast. This part in particular made him spit out his cornflakes.
I phoned up the police commissioner and said, surely you're going to appeal this.
I've got to tell you, every now and then I wish I could direct the police to arrest or prosecute a few people, but I'd much rather live in a country with freedom and democracy than go down the sort of Filipino Duterte-type path.
David Seymour says Mr. Nash's actions were abhorrent, a sackable offence made worse by his braggadocio.
The separation between politics and the justice system is one of the most important defences of New Zealanders' freedom. It means that you're not going to be investigated, prosecuted, have your prosecution appealed or be locked up for political reasons. And keeping politics and the judiciary and the police all separate has taken hundreds of years of evolution. Ministers have rightly resigned for doing far less. I don't see how Stuart Nash can continue if he is so blasé, in fact boastful, about intervening in police prosecution decisions.
While David Seymour was alerting media, Mr. Nash was hosting an event on Parliament's precinct, awarding space scholarships to 5 Kiwi students. On leaving the room at its close, he was met by a pack of reporters with a long list of questions. But instead of contrition or any form of reflection, Stuart Nash delivered indignation.
Minister Nash, have you been interfering in police cases?
Hell no.
Will you resign?
That was a fantastic announcement. Why would I resign over that?
You admitted this morning to calling the police commissioner about a sentence.
I wasn't the Minister of Police at the time.
Did you have that conversation?
That doesn't matter. You're a minister at the time.
I was not the Minister of Police at the time. I heard a case. I'm not interfering in any way, shape or form.
You're calling the police commissioner and asking him to appeal a case.
No, I'm asking him, would he consider appealing this case?
You said, surely you're going to...
And then it got worse. Stuart Nash doubled down and offered up this astonishing defence of his actions.
I wasn't the Minister of Police. I was chewing the fat with a guy who was a mate about a decision that I thought was very bad in a circumstance that I had been involved in when I was a Minister of Police buying back firearms, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Of the separation of powers, though, to criticise a judicial decision.
Minister,
I thought it was a bad decision, and I stand by my criticism of that decision. This is a guy who had no licence, had illegal firearms, illegal ammunition, and guns, and the judge said, well, you're not part of a gang, therefore you can have home detention.
So,
and I stand by the fact that
it was a
bad
decision.
Please explain why.
No.
The phone conversation took place in 2021 while Stuart Nash was not police minister, but was in cabinet. And the cabinet manual is clear. Ministers must not criticise decisions of the court, not to the media, and especially not to the police commissioner. That's because the manual also states ministers must use good judgment in their interactions with the public service. That's even more important with the police, given their strict independence. The police commissioner, by law, must act independently of ministers when it comes to the investigation and prosecution of offences. In a statement, the Commissioner, Andy Costa, said he did remember that phone call and regarded it as a venting of frustration, nothing more. He said he did not take any action as a result, and the case was not appealed. Regardless, the phone call was unacceptable.
Strike one, he interfered with police. Strike two, he boasted about it on live radio. And strike three, he showed no apology. In fact, like some sort of tin pot banana republic dictator, he said he was just chewing the fat with his mate, who happened to be the police commissioner. That is unacceptable.
By now, the National Party too had caught wind and joined the party. National's police spokesperson Mark Mitchell told reporters the lack of apology made Stuart Nash's position untenable.
Until he doubled down on it, I thought that if he came out, if he apologised, if he acknowledged and said, hey, that's, I got that completely wrong, then there might have been a chance. But when he came out and doubled down on it, said nothing to see here, we're mates, we chew the fat, I mean, you're going to get a complete loss of public trust and obviously a breach of the Cabinet manual.
For Mr Nash, the gravity of the situation had finally sunk in. Since his back and forth with reporters, he'd consulted with colleagues, reflected and sent a message to the Prime Minister. Shortly before 2 o'clock, Chris Hipkins arrived outside Parliament's debating chamber with a prepared statement.
It is my view that Stuart Nash's action in contacting the Commissioner in relation to a possible appeal was unwise. It is also my view that his comments, both at the time on the judiciary and subsequently in defending his actions, are inappropriate and represent an error of judgment.
He went on.
Stuart Nash has reflected on his actions and has tendered his resignation in the police portfolio. As such, I have accepted that resignation effective immediately, and I have advised the Governor-General to accept it, which she has now done. Megan Woods will be the acting Minister of Police for the time being.
Chris Hipkins was forthright. Had Stuart Nash not resigned, he would have been sacked. The punishment, though, wasn't terminal. Mr Nash would remain in Cabinet and hold on to his other portfolios, economic development, forestry and fisheries, as well as a focus on the cyclone recovery in Hawke's Bay.
Look, I think he's demonstrated an error of judgment here, a serious error of judgment, and he's certainly paid a consequence for that and the fact that he's no longer the Minister of Police. I believe that that is a proportionate response to the error of judgment that Stuart has shown.
That did not wash with the opposition, both National and ACT rearing up in the debating chamber, demanding Mr Nash be booted from Cabinet altogether.
That is just, Mr Speaker, beggars belief. It is an unbelievable dereliction of duty and unconstitutional behaviour.
Why does the Prime Minister believe he's capable of doing those other portfolios? Are they less important? And it might be that he offended while he was the Minister of the Police, but his offences were actually carried out while he was not the Minister of Police, so he's now been put back in the exact same position he had when he did the wrong thing in the first place.
He's willing to have someone in his Cabinet that will break the rules of the Cabinet manual and still say, it's okay, you'll lose the police portfolio, turn up to work on Monday. Not acceptable, Mr Speaker.
And they had support from other quarters too. Speaking on RNZ's Morning Report on Thursday, the law professor Andrew Geddes from Otago University underlined the seriousness of the offending.
Minister Nash didn't just, you know, commit one breach of the Cabinet manual here. It wasn't just the initial phone call that was the problem. It was the fact that basically he took pride in what he'd done and boasted about it on the radio. Then continued to carry on criticising an individual court judgment, which is something the Cabinet manual just tells ministers, you just don't do that. And then when pressed on it, basically said, well, what's the problem? I'm quite happy with what I do, and essentially I'm going to carry on doing it. And so to simply take the Minister of Police portfolio off him and allow him to remain as a minister, the question is, does that really recognise a series of ongoing and quite problematic mistakes with regard to his general ministerial duties?
As luck would have it, both Chris Hipkins and Stuart Nash were due to appear together that Thursday morning in Gisborne before a visit to cyclone-hit Wairoa in Stuart Nash's electorate. RNZ's reporter Ashley McCall managed to grab Mr Nash as he touched down in the region, the now former police minister taking a very different approach from the day before, some newfound remorse.
Absolutely, I completely stuffed up, and you know what, if I was the Prime Minister, I would have done exactly the same thing as Awen did.
So can you understand what you said and what you did was wrong?
Absolutely. I own it, made a mistake, and onwards and upwards.
How can people have confidence that you're not going to make these same mistakes again?
Well, you learn from your mistakes, right? If I make the same mistakes again, then the Prime Minister will have to take further action. But we learn from our errors.
We learn from our errors. It would not take long for that comment to come back to haunt him. The Prime Minister was pushed on his support and whether he was confident Mr Nash had not made similar mistakes in the past.
He's given me an assurance that he hasn't. I've accepted that. As you've just seen, he's owning the mistake that he's made.
The Prime Minister's made it very clear to me, if I stuff up like this again, then I'm gone. You know, I will work incredibly hard to earn back the trust of the Prime Minister and the country, and people will judge me on that.
But by that afternoon, another indiscretion had emerged, and one that suggested Mr Nash had not learned from his errors, that had in fact landed in similar trouble before.
Government Minister Stuart Nash is in more hot water tonight over revelations the Solicitor General considered prosecuting him for contempt.
This blunder occurred in June 2020, days after the police officer Matthew Hunt was shot and killed in West Auckland. Again, Mr Nash was appearing on News Talk ZB. Again, he was speaking to Mike Hosking. And again, his loose lips created a problem.
In true police form, they have been incredibly professional. They caught the guy that did it and his accomplice very, very quickly. And now they're building the case. It'll go to court. And let's hope that this guy has many years in jail to contemplate what he has done.
Yet again, Mr Nash opining on an individual case and one that was still before the courts. The Solicitor General, Una Jargos, who oversees all criminal prosecutions, received a formal complaint about Mr Nash's comments at the time, asking her to charge him with contempt. She decided against that, but did ask the Attorney General, David Parker, one of Mr Nash's cabinet colleagues, to issue him with a formal reprimand over the unacceptable remarks. For the opposition parties, this surely, they said, was the final nail in the coffin.
He should have actually been stood down as a cabinet minister anyway the first time. But now that this has come to light, it's just going to open up a whole lot more questions.
It's hard to tell if he's naive about how important these constitutional conventions actually are, or just thinks that, you know, it's all a bit of a laugh and everyone should just suck it up and get over it. Whichever is the case, I don't think a person like that should be a minister for the Crown, Fisheries, Forestry, Economic Development. Someone who's a minister should have the highest standards of conduct at any time.
A hastily issued statement from the Prime Minister's office, however, indicated no change in situation. It said the latest revelation was an historical offence and was dealt with at the time that Mr Nash knew he was on notice for any future errors of judgment. Mr Hipkins did not know about the blunder until media reports, and Mr Nash says he'd forgotten about it. That was the state of play as of Thursday evening through to Friday. And then this, just before midday, on News Hub's bulletin.
Here's where things get interesting. We were due to pre-record an interview with Chris Hipkins for News Hub Nation. That interview was supposed to happen at 11 o'clock, but the Prime Minister's office has delayed that interview until 2 p.m. to deal with a, quote, matter of importance. Now, they won't tell us whether or not that has anything to do with Nash, but this very much feels like a live issue.
That matter of importance soon became clear. A third, yes, a third incident. Mr Hipkins fronted to media shortly before three.
Last night I was made aware of a further situation involving Stuart Nash.
Mr Nash alerted the PM to the situation himself on Thursday night during a searching conversation about his conduct. In September last year, Mr Nash contacted an immigration official to ask them to look into the case of a medical worker in his electorate. Mr Nash insists he had no connection with the individual and was just advocating for a constituent, but in doing so he circumvented the usual and appropriate practice. He should have raised it with the minister responsible, not gone straight to the public servants.
It's clear in his pattern of behaviour that Stuart is not acting to achieve personal gain from his actions. The cases in question represent more of his desire to get things done in his portfolios and on behalf of his communities. This latest instance, though, does demonstrate a pattern of behaviour which does not reach the standard that I expect from ministers.
So, is it third strike and you're out of cabinet? Apparently not.
Having considered the thresholds used by previous prime ministers, I've decided that an appropriate penalty is to demote Stuart Nash and to place him on a final warning. Stuart will move to the bottom of the cabinet rankings at number 20.
Cue the opposition's response.
Being reprimanded by Chris Hipkins is a bit like being mauled by a mouse. He's demoted him to 20. You've got a minister that has breached the cabinet manual three times and he's still in cabinet. It's ridiculous.
Chris Hipkins is a weak prime minister who's unable to hold his own ministers accountable What does a minister need to do to be sacked from cabinet? Voters should do what the Prime Minister can't and turf them all out when it comes to the election.
Stuart Nash should count himself unbelievably lucky. His supposedly one-time blunder has ballooned into a clear pattern of recklessness. It's highlighted poor ministerial judgment, as well as wider problems Labour has in the law and order space. Furthermore, he has committed that cardinal sin, embarrassing his boss, the Prime Minister. Chris Hipkins has now expended an enormous amount of capital on Stuart Nash. You better hope it was worth it. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining us. Matua.